Today we're about to enter into the realm, the atmosphere, the oxygen of the Word of God. It is alive, it says. The Word of God says this Word is alive and active and sharper than any double-edged sword. It can fix your problems. It can pierce to the dividing between soul and spirit. I don't know any knife that can do that, but this one. So how you face this word that you're going to hear today determines a lot. It determines what you get out of it and what it produces in your life. So we should be, as I say, all ears. All ears. And don't miss this. His love endures forever. That's what we've been talking about. His love endures forever. And the first slide shows you that passage, one of them anyway. Psalm 136 verse 1 says, "Give thanks to the Lord." We've been doing that today, haven't we? Giving thanks to the Lord. "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love is kind of spotty. Sometimes there, sometimes not there. His love is kind of ragged sometimes. His love is, depends on how he got up that morning. No, what does it say? His love endures pretty long while. Oh, forever. His love endures forever. And that's said more than once in the Bible. That's said all through the book of Psalms. I think I counted 40 some odd times. "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever." So I think probably we should know more about His love. Jesus said, and it won't be on the screen here, but Jesus said, what's the great commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. That sounds like you empty yourself out, doesn't it? That's everything you got. That's like football players say, well, we left it all on the field. What does that mean? They played their heart out, win or lose, right? So whatever the devil tries to do, love God with all your heart, and love God with all your soul, and love God with all your mind and all your strength. And he goes on to say, your neighbor is yourself. If you got the love of God in you, you won't have to worry about loving your neighbor, because you will. It'll be natural. You don't have to worry about loving the brothers and sisters. It'll be natural. The next slide, this is John 14. We're going to camp there for a minute. John chapter 14 is where Jesus promised them the Holy Spirit. And in talking about the Holy Spirit, he said, this will be your aid, your comfort, your teacher. He will be the comforter. And he comes to, this is John 14, verse 15. If you love me, you will obey what I command. Then he comes down to verse 19. Before long, now this is all in my Bible in red, so this is him talking to the disciples, right before the cross, not long before he goes to the cross and the resurrection. Before long, the world will not see me anymore. What's going to happen? I'm going to go to the cross. Body will be put in the grave. And the world won't see him anymore. And they're kind of puzzled about that. You'll see that in a minute. The world will not see me any longer, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. Now he's talking about the resurrection, isn't he? And the world won't see me raised, but you will. Isn't that amazing? Jesus didn't show himself to everybody. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians that he showed himself to Peter and to the other apostles and to several others and 500 people at one time. But he did not, evidently from this, show himself to everybody. Did you know what you see in your life about Christ and what you have learned from the Word of God? Most people don't see it. Sadly, even some Christians don't see it. Didn't Jesus say, don't throw your pearls where? The four swine. They can't appreciate pearls. They don't know what a pearl is. And so, what's Jesus saying? If you are interested and you are keyed into God and you want God and you want more of God and you want more of God's Spirit and you want more of God's Word, He'll show you things. But a lot of people read the Bible and they don't understand it, and it's kind of a closed book because they don't really want that much out of it. They're afraid if I read the wrong thing, I might have to change my ways. So what does he say here? I'm not going to show myself to everybody. Before long, verse 19, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day you will realize I'm in my Father and you are in me, and I'm in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he's the one who loves me. He who loves me, verse 21, he says, he who obeys my commands, he's the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Now, is he going to show himself to everybody? No. Who's he going to show himself to? The people that love me. Do you know, you got a lot of people in your life probably, and you don't share your inner secrets with all of them, do you? And Jesus said, I won't share myself with people that don't love me. In fact, Judas, not Judas Iscariot, verse 22, Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, but Lord, why? Why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? It puzzled him, probably the others too. He's puzzled by, well, we thought you'd show yourself resurrected to everybody. Did you know Jesus has been raised from the dead 2,000 years, and a lot of people don't believe that and still have not heard that or even know that? He still hasn't showed himself to everybody. You can preach it to people. You can preach the resurrection to people, preach Jesus to people, and they won't even accept it. They can't see it. He's not showing himself to them. Judas asked a question. Judas is not Iscariot. He's not the betrayer. He's another Judas. He asked, what was his question? Why do you want to show yourself to us, not to the world? Look at Jesus' answer. If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. Sounds like he's off the subject, but actually he's point on. He's right in the middle of the target. If anyone loves me, he'll obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me. I'm not going to show myself to people that don't love me. Why? He who does not love will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father. What's he saying? If you love him, and we need to wake up as Christians a little bit too. If I spend my life loving him, loving God, loving Christ, if I spend my life loving him, then he'll show me some things. He'll show me a lot of things. I'll have answers to my issue, and it'll just pop into my head. And I'll say, that's it. I prayed about that a couple of times. I prayed about that 3 or 4 weeks, and all of a sudden there's the answer. There it is. Why? Because you love him. The more you love him, the more he shares himself with you. So Christians who have a cardboard Christianity that's just nothing to it, and it's just blank and bland and no joy in it, they haven't learned to express their love. Do you hear that complaint a lot? Marriage counselors hear that a lot. That he doesn't know how to express love to me, or she doesn't know how to express her love to me. Can you learn to do that? You can learn to do that. How do you learn to do that? You start talking. You swallow your pride and you say, dear, thank you for the good supper tonight. Sometimes guys have a hard time. You have to learn that, right? Yeah. And it helps if you saw good parents and you saw them do that. What's Jesus say? If you express your love for me, then I'll start showing you things. So how do you do that? Lord, I love you. Start off your prayer with, Lord, Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. I love you. You're so precious to me. You are the only thing in my life that matters. You're the main thing in my life. I look to you, Lord, because you last forever and your love lasts forever. You just are so kind to me and loving to me. And I look at my life and I think, boy, I could have gone wrong so many times and you've helped me out. And I don't know how many times, Lord, there have been times I should have gone down, but I went up because of you. I mean, how many times has God spared your life and you didn't even know it? Some car turned and went the other direction and got in a crash that didn't hit you. Some drunk driver went the other way instead of your way, and you didn't even know it. Love for God. He said, if you love me, I'll show you some things. I'm going to give you an illustration of that. Exodus chapter 32. If you've been reading Exodus, you know this story. But in Exodus 32, Moses had led the people out, and he got them into the wilderness. Now they're having problems. And Moses, God called Moses up to the mountain to get the law and to spend time with God. He spent actually about 40 days. He did it more than once, but he spent 40 days and 40 nights on the mountain with God. And while he's gone, the people got worried, and they said, well, they came to Aaron, his brother, who was the priest, and they said, we don't know what's happened to this Moses fella. They've been up there over a month, and they're getting restless. We don't know what happened to Moses. Why don't you make us a god? Just make us a god. Well, we can get down on them, or you can remember that they were in Egypt. Where? Egypt. Did they worship Jehovah God in Egypt? No. How many years were they in Egypt? 430 years. America is not even 430 years old. And we think colonial days were ancient. 430 years in Egypt. It's not shocking that they would say, let's just make us an idol. They had seen all kinds of gods in Egypt. The sun god, the moon god, the cat god, the hawk god. They had worshipped, the Egyptians had worshipped all these things, and they didn't really have much relationship with Jehovah God, a little bit. And Moses came there and stirred all that up about, this is a god of our fathers, a god of our ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Jehovah God wants to bring us out of here. And so when they got out in the wilderness and lost their courage and their confidence, they said, and Moses was gone, they didn't know if he would ever come back. He went up on the mountain, and the mountain was in smoke for the time Moses was up there. He just walked up into the smoke, and they didn't know what happened to Moses. So they got with Aaron and said, can you make us some gods? Make us a god. And Aaron did, and that didn't go well, did it? So you come to verse 7, Exodus 32, verse 7. Then the Lord said to Moses, where's Moses? Up on a mountain. What's he doing? Talking to God, praying. What a man of prayer he was, too. You're going to see an amazing prayer here. Lord said to Moses, go down, because your people, whom you brought up out of Egypt, have become corrupt. They have been quick to turn away from what I commanded them and have made themselves an idol cast in the shape of a calf. Can you hide anything from God? He wasn't there, but he knew they made it. And he knew what it was, too, a calf. They bowed down to it and sacrificed to it, and they've said, these are your gods, O Israel. Who brought you up out of Egypt? It sounds crazy to us. They made a facsimile of a calf out of metal and said, well, that's what got us out of Egypt. That's what it was. That right there got us out. Here's God talking again. I have seen these people, the Lord said to Moses. They're stiff-necked people. What does that mean? Stubborn. If you have an old horse or a mule that's got a stiff neck, what does that mean? You can't get him to pull the reins. And you can't get him to go this way or that way. Stiff neck. Stubborn. Can a mule be stubborn sometimes? Verse 10, now leave me alone that my anger may burn against them and I may destroy them, and then I'll make you into a great nation. I'm done with these people. Get them out of my sight. You just leave me alone. He's telling Moses to stop praying. Stop asking, talking to me about this. Leave me alone, and I'm going to get my plan together, and I'm going to get a head of steam, and I'm going to wipe them all out. And I will make you, Moses, forget about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all that. I'm going to start with you, and I'm going to make a great nation out of you. Boy, that's a test of Moses, isn't it? What if Moses, the Bible says he was the most humble man on the face of the earth, so he wouldn't do this, but what if Moses had said, yeah, how about that? I get to be Abraham. I get to be the one that has, everybody will forget about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I get to be the one that becomes the head of all this whole thing God has promised. Verse 11. But Moses did what? Sought the favor of Jehovah his God. Oh Lord, he said, why? This is an amazing prayer. I've taught on it before, but this prayer is amazing. What's his prayer? Why should your anger burn against your people? He said these to Moses, he said, these are your people. Moses says, basically Moses is saying, oh no, never mind. It was your idea. Talk about a bold praying man. You can talk to God, and we're going to see that here in a little bit. You can talk to God pretty openly and honestly as long as you don't blaspheme and you don't disrespect him. Moses was very respectful in what he said. Why should your anger burn against your people whom you brought up out of Egypt with a great power and a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say, he's building a case. What's he saying? They're your people. First point, they're your people. Why should you destroy them? Second point, what are the Egyptians going to say? What are they going to say about this? Why should the Egyptians say it was with evil intent that he brought them out to kill them in the mountains and wipe them off the face of the earth? He said, the Egyptians are going to say, look at that. All that hassle we had with these people and their so-called God, and we should have let them go sooner. Because we found out this God is evil. And he wanted them out of Egypt so he could take them in the wilderness and wipe them out. Moses is saying to God, don't you think the Egyptians are going to think that when you destroy them all? That, yeah, that's a God, that's a wicked God. He's not good. Turn from your fierce anger. Relent and do not bring disaster on your people. Remember your servants Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, or Israel, to whom you swore. That is, let this sink in. That is an astounding prayer. This man, later it will say, he talked to God face to face. What's he saying to God? Well, they're your people. Don't you love them? And the Egyptians are going to think ill of you. And then he says, then what about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? You swore. You're not a liar. You swore to them by your own self. You know, if you go to court, you used to go to court, you raise your hand, put a hand on the Bible, you're swearing by something greater than you are. There's nothing greater. The Hebrew says there's nothing greater than God, so he swore by himself. What did he swear? Abraham, I'll make a great nation out of you. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, you will be this great nation. He said, you swore. By your own self, I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky. Will give your descendants all this land I promised them, and it'll be their inheritance forever. Then the Lord relented and did not bring on his people the disaster he had threatened. Some people say, well, God knew he was going to do that anyway. Did you know the Bible is full of the word if, I-F, if? God lets you pick sometimes your destiny. In fact, does he ever make anybody obey Christ and become a Christian? No, it's your choice. So he just laid a choice out to Moses. All right, Moses, why don't you leave me alone a while and I'm going to bring disaster on these people. What did Moses do? Started praying. Give them a break. Please let them off. And he made the case. God said, okay, I'll do that. Moses went down the mountain. He discovered what was going on. This is chapter 32, Exodus 32. Moses says, verse 31, Exodus 32, verse 31, went back to the Lord and said, oh, what a great sin these people have committed. They've made themselves gods of gold. But now please forgive their sin. If not, blot me out of the book you've written. If you're going to destroy them, take me with them. Take me with them. There's a very famous preacher many, many, three or four centuries ago, I guess, prayed, Scotland. He wanted his people to be saved. They weren't coming to Christ. He wanted his nation to be saved. And he prayed, Lord, give me Scotland or I die. Moses said, just take me. If you can't let them go. If you're going to blot them out, take me with them. Wow. What passion. Do we need that kind of passion for the Lord's church today? For the lost today, and say, Lord, help us win people. Help us win people. Because if we don't, we're not doing your will, and we love you, we want to do your will. So Moses said, just take me along with him. And what did God say? No, I don't blot out anybody except those who sin against me. I got to hurry. Verse 31. Then the Lord said to Moses, leave this place and the people you brought up out of Egypt and go up to the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, I'll give it to your descendants. I will send an angel before you and drive out these tribes. And then he says in verse 3, go up to the land flowing with milk and honey, but I will not go with you. God said that. You go on and do what I told you to do, but I'm not going. I will not go with you because you are a stiff-necked people and I might destroy you on the way. Oh, I'm so glad we live under grace, aren't you? Because some of these stories in the Old Testament just sort of give you the chills. It's like, God, for those folk, he didn't put up with a lot, did he? But thank the Lord, Jesus came and died for our sin on our behalf, and we have freedom. We have grace for our mistakes. They did too, but not quite the same way. Verse 5, the Lord had said to Moses, tell the Israelites, you're a stiff-necked people. If I were to go with you for even a moment, I might destroy you. Verse 7, Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. Verse 11, chapter 33, verse 11. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man does what? Speaks with his friend. As a man speaks with his friend. Then Moses would return to the camp at his young age. Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. That tells you why Joshua was a great leader. He stayed in the prayer tent. He spent a lot of hours in the prayer tent. Now, what did this say about Moses? Did Moses love God? Oh, why would he do all of what he did if he didn't love God? And God spoke to Moses. You say, yeah, but that was Moses. Guess what? Moses was not born again. Moses did not have Christ. Moses did not have the Holy Spirit living in him. Don't sell yourself short. Moses was not in the same covenant that we have. So don't say, well, that was Moses. No. Those old folk looked forward and couldn't tell what they were looking for. They just knew one day God's going to help us. And here we have the help. Christ is our help, isn't he? Christ is our help. Verse 12. Moses said to the Lord, you've been telling me, lead these people, but you've not let me know whom you'll send with me. You said, I know you by name. God told him, I know you, Moses. Did you know God knows us by name? Your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. You got reservations. They know you in heaven. They know your name in heaven. God told Moses, I know you by name. You're not just a mass, part of the mass crowd to me. I know you by name. I've picked you. I've chosen you. Verse 13, if you're pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people. If you've been, what is it? If you, verse 13, if you're pleased with me, do what? What does Moses want God to do? Show me. See, and for Moses, everything is falling apart. The people are mad and they want to stone him. God's mad and said, I'm going to destroy them. They're a stiff-necked bunch. I'm going to get somebody else. What a man. Moses just hangs in there. God's mad. The people are mad. What's Moses say? Okay, if you're not going to send anybody, if you're not going to go, then who are you going to send with us? Sounds like a leading question, doesn't it? If you're not going, he first said, I don't want, we don't want to go. Don't send us into that land if you're not going with us. And now he's saying, okay, if you're not going, who are you going to send? We can't go by ourselves. We can't defeat them by ourselves. We know that. Verse 14. Teach me, he says, 13, teach me your ways so I may know you. Know you. Do you want to know God? Are you tired of just knowing about God? Do you want to really know him face to face? Do you want to know God? Jesus said that in John 14, didn't he? If you love me, I reveal myself to you. One version said, if you love me, I'll manifest myself to you. You won't wonder if Jesus is real. If you love him with all your heart, you're going to start seeing things and even hearing things. Teach me your way so I may know you and continue to find favor. Verse 14, what did the Lord say? My presence will go with you. Okay, I'm going. Okay, I'm going. My presence will be with you. And I will give you
rest.
What?
Rest.
Now, he doesn't mean you're going to be go over there and do nothing. What he means is, like Jesus said, come to me, you who are heavily laden, and I'll give you rest. We work hard in the kingdom of God, don't we? Ministry is hard work. Ask around. If you know somebody that's really involved, I don't mean preaching. That's hard work too, but I just mean ministry in general. It's hard work. But the Lord said, I give you rest. You can do it with a calm spirit. You can do it with a peaceful spirit. And he told Moses, you'll have that. Then Moses said, if your presence does not go with us, don't send us up from there. Verse 18, this is amazing. You can go back and read all this for yourself if you haven't. Put all the context together in verse 18. What did Moses ask first? Teach me your ways. Now what's he saying? Are you looking at it? Show me. Now this man had been on the mountain with God for 40 days and 40 nights. Moses knew the fire and the brimstone and the smoke and the voice. And can I have more? Can I have more? Are you asking that question today? Can I have more? I want some more. If you ever taste, the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Get a little taste. And you say, I want some more. Show me your glory. Show me your glory. Oh, if we could learn to pray like Moses. Are you working on that? Show me your glory, verse 18. The Lord said, I'll cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will preach my name, Jehovah, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, and nobody can see my face and live. Then the Lord said, there's a place near me where you may stand on a rock. Go get on that rock, he said. When my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand. God's going to drop by for a few seconds. He said, go get on that rock. And when I come, I'll put you down in the cleft to protect you, and I'll put my hand over you. And when I pass by, until I have passed by, verse 23, then I will remove my hand, you will see my back, but my face must not be seen. Can't see his face to get to heaven, can you? God does that for him. Verse 4 of chapter 34. I know we're running a little long, but you got anything better to do? You love his word, don't you? Love the Lord too. So Moses chiseled out two stones. He told him to bring he had broken the first set of tablets, and now he says, bring more. Verse 5. of chapter 34. Then the Lord came down in the cloud. This is New International Version. Yours may be slightly different. Verse 5. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood. Wow. He did what? Stood there with him. He stood there with Moses. And God's big on proclaiming. Isn't that what the word preach means? And he's big on preaching his word. He preached his name. The Lord, if you have most English versions, have capital L-O-R-D, all caps. Hebrew says Jehovah. That's a sacred name, isn't it? The word Jehovah in Hebrew, if you see the word L-O-R-D in all caps in English, the word behind it is a Hebrew word, Jehovah, which means I am that I am. I will be what I will be. What he's saying is, I exist forever. Always have existed. Always will exist. You ever heard a little kid ask, well, who made God? Nobody made God. God made you, but nobody made God. He stood there with him and preached his name. And he passed by in front of Moses. Here's what he preached. Jehovah, Jehovah, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children of children and their children for the sin of the fathers to third and fourth generation. Actually, verse 20, to make that more clear, Exodus 20, verse 6 says, of those who hate me. When he said that before, he said, I punish to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. Don't hate God. Don't get all bent out of shape with God and say, why did God do this to me? Oh, don't go down that road. If you blame God for your problems, then you can't get any help. He's not the reason for your problems. When you have problems, don't blame God. Kind of look at yourself and say, where did I miss it? He passed in front of him proclaiming his name. Verse 8, Moses bowed to the ground at once and worshiped. Oh Lord, if I have found favor in your eyes, he said, then let the Lord go with us. Although this is a stiff-necked people, forgive our wickedness and our sin and take us as your inheritance. Then the Lord said, I am making a covenant with you. And he made a covenant. Verse 29. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of testimony in his hands, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. Wow. You know what the word radiant means in Hebrew? Shafts of light coming out of his head. And this was long before Christ. Shafts of light coming out of his head because God had stood there with him and preached to him, this is who I am. This is who I am. The reason I bring all that up is to say in John 14, what did Jesus say? If you love me, you'll keep my commandments, and I will manifest myself to you. You want more of God in your life? Tired of just knowing about God? Oh, we study sometimes, and we never get it. It never sinks in. He doesn't want you to just want you to be smart. He wants you. He wants relationship with you. My goodness. Do you want to see more of God? I love you, Lord. Help me. I love you, Lord. I'm going to go ahead and get the next slide up here. We're going to hurry through this one, but I'll give you the citation. That's Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 through 19. Ephesians 3, 16 through 19. Paul prayed for that church, and I'll paraphrase here, but he prayed for that church, that God would strengthen them with power through his spirit in the inner being. Why do they need power in the inner being? So that Christ lives in you by faith. And that you being rooted and established in love may have power with all the other believers to grasp how long and high and wide and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. The strength of God is in us. We just have to pursue it. I skipped through two or three, that's the last one there. I skipped through two or three slides trying to speed the thing up. The last slide, I think, are we up to the last one now? Yeah, here we go, one more. Romans 8:28. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Who gets God in their life to work everything out? Those who love him. Did everything work out good for Moses? Yeah. They made it in the land, or got to the edge of the land. He had to put up with all their problems as they wandered in the wilderness. Moses didn't actually get to go in. Joshua did. But there's a little thing in the New Testament called the Transfiguration. You ever read about that? Jesus was transfigured in this great glory. And guess who showed up on the mountain with Jesus? Moses and Elijah. Moses got to see the promised land and see Jesus at the same time. I think everything worked out good for Moses, didn't it? Because he loved the Lord. The last slide, I think, is our prayer slide, isn't it? You may not know this, some of you don't, but this notebook, I have gotten new names a couple of times in the last month or two. This is full of names, page after page after page of names. And we are the kind of church, we take names. But what do we do with them? We pray over them. We take names and we pray over them. What are we praying for? Them to come to Christ. We believe prayer matters. The way we pray for people, it matters. So we're praying for these individuals, the ones in the book that were written down. We keep it confidential because some people get offended if they know you're praying for them. Well, y'all think you're better than me. I'm just as good as you are. No, it's not about that. It's about asking God to open them up. Open their eyes, their hearts to hear the gospel. Make it available to them if they don't have it available. Bring people to Christ that fell away and quit. So, Father, we pray over these individuals, and I know our church here joins together in their prayers right now, that all these individuals in the notebook would just have a special encounter with you, maybe brought to them by someone that they know or someone at a church somewhere. Please open their hearts, show them the truth, bring them, Father, to faith in Christ, so that they can have eternal life. We know it's not your will that anybody should perish. You want all to come to a knowledge of the truth. Thank you, Father, for your love. We love you, Father. We thank you for being with us this morning as we have studied your word. What a powerful thing that you've allowed us to see today. Thank you. We pray right now for these individuals. We ask you to bless their lives with the working of your spirit in Christ's name. Amen. Take your songbook, please, and stand with us. And we're going to sing together. If you have a special need, then you come let us know that.